All right, for those of you who came back, thanks for coming back. My name is Joe. I'm a cocaine addict. We're going to look at the 11. We're going to look at step 11, which we find on page 85. And obviously the short form, which is in how it works on page 59, we sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him. So improve implies that we have made conscious contact. You take the first 10 steps, first 9 steps, and there will be a conscious contact. There will be something going on. My experience is I was starting to live with these different ideas, emotions, and attitudes that weren't once my ideas, emotions, and attitudes towards myself, my Creator, in this world. And so we're looking to improve on that, and the suggestion and the direction that they ask us to do is we look to improving it by prayer and meditation. Page 85, it says, steps 11 suggests prayer and meditation. We shouldn't be shy on this matter of prayer. Better men than we are using it constantly. It works if we have the proper attitude and work at it. It's quite easy, you know, to have the proper attitude towards it. And throughout the whole book, I mean, a lot of the prayers are, you know, that thy will, not mine, be done. Show me your will. Direct me as you would have me be. Work through me. Remove my difficulties so that I can bear witness and I can help. And this is usually the proper use of prayer that I've found most effective. I've tried a lot of different prayer, you know. Please God, make sure He fronts me a 3.5 tonight because I got no money left. And that sometimes that didn't usually work out. I remember I was talking to Tarek about this when my grandmother passed away. I was getting up to go give a talk. Well, just a couple days before that, my grandmother fell ill, and my mother was booking a flight to the Philippines. And she said, "You know, Judd, please pray to God that Grandma stays alive for, you know, before I get there, so that I can spend some last moments with her." And what kind of came up from the practice of this step or the proper use of prayer was just, "Mom, you know, I'd love to pray for that, but I can't really pray for that, you know. But what I can pray for is that God gives you the strength to be able to live through whatever happens from now until then." And then a few days later, I was getting ready to give a talk at a convention, and she gave me a call. And she said, "Grandma died." I said, "How you doing?" She said, "I feel okay. I feel strangely okay right now." Talks about it a little bit later on for, you know, praying for selfish needs doesn't usually work, and it's not quite effective. So it says, "It would be easy to be vague on this matter, yet we believe we can make some definite and valuable suggestions when we retire at night." And, you know, here's the kicker with regards to the belief system that the 10th step is night. Here we're in the 11th step. "When we retire at night, we constructively review our day. Where were we resentful, selfish, dishonest, or afraid?" Again, we've learned this footwork in steps 4. "Do we owe an apology?" We've learned this footwork in steps 8 and 9. "Have we kept something to ourselves which could be discussed with another person at once?" We learned this in the footwork of step 5. "Were we kind and loving towards all? What could we have done better? Were we thinking of ourselves most of the time? Or were we thinking of what we could do for others and what we could pack into the stream of life?" This is my new 11-step book. And, you know, I just go through and I ask the questions when I retire at night. I ask myself the question, was I or wasn't I? Where was I resentful? Where was I selfish? Did I keep something to myself? And I write them down. "But we must be careful not to drift into worry, remorse, or morbid reflection." So last night, as I was telling you, I was wrong. With respect to my wife, I was wrong for keeping stuff and not being transparent with things. Now I could see myself getting a little hard on myself about that. You know, when you see, when somebody that you love says to you that I feel betrayed, I'm afraid. That is not a part of the book of rules that I want to live by. That is not contributing to somebody's spiritual evolution. That is not loving somebody. And so it was hard to hear. It was uncomfortable to hear, obviously. And I slowly started to observe myself getting a little, bringing out the baseball bat a little bit. But it tells me when I did the questions last night, right there. Not to drift into worry, not to drift into remorse or morbid reflection. Worry, remorse, or morbid reflection. Worry, future. Remorse, past. Right? Here is one who has all power, that one is God. May you find him now. Now is not past or in future. Now. For that would diminish our usefulness to others. See the consideration or the condition it gives me here is that don't go into worry and remorse. Don't go there, because what it will do actually is because it'll diminish my usefulness. All along through the book, it talks about getting me into a position where I can be maximum service to God and my fellows. Take away my difficulties so I can bear witness, so I can help thy will, not mine, be done. After making a review, we ask God's forgiveness and inquire the corrective measures should be taken. There's going to be, if she invites me and allows me in when I get back, not into the house, but into a position where we can have a discussion and I can make that approach. I could look her dead in the eye and own up to my shit. Ask her if I've left anything out. Ask her if I can repair anything. All steps that I've learned in the footwork. On awakening, let us think about the 24 hours ahead. We consider our plans for the day. Now, on awakening, for me, it looks like on awakening. So on awakening, what happens is I ask God to direct my thinking and divorce my thinking from selfish motives. Because from my bed to the toilet, I can make some real life-changing decisions in my head based on fear and based on selfishness and based on whatever. So it's not after eggs and bacon, it's on awakening. And that's what I've tried to practice. We consider our plans for the day. My grand sponsor, Gary Brown, pointed out something to me and said, if it says that we consider our plans, that means we have plans already. We've considered some plans already. Now we're going to consider these, the plans that we have. So usually on my nightly review, what I'll look at are what are my plans for tomorrow? What are some of the things that I need to do tomorrow? When I constructively review my night, I look back at those plans and did I take care of this? Or did I balk at this? Or did I not follow up with this? Whatever it may be. We ask God to direct our thinking, especially asking that it be divorced from self-pity, dishonest, and self-seeking motives. Under these conditions, we can employ our mental faculties with assurance, for after all, God gave us brains to use. Our thought life will be placed on a much higher plane when our thinking is cleared of wrong motives. The 11th step is about my thought life. It is about elevating my thought life to a different plane. It is about being effective with my thought life. Later on, it says it talks about we don't tire so easily. My first teacher Mick, he used to say stuff like to me. He said, "What's happening, Joe? What's going on?" I'm like, "I'm exhausted, dude." And he's like, "Yeah, it's exhausting carrying an eagle that big around, isn't it?" But there's a lot of truth to that. When I'm trying to put my energy into arranging the lights, the ballet, and the scenery the way that I want to, and I'm trying to play God, those are very big shoes to fill. It is very tiring. How is my thought life? In thinking about our day, we may face indecision. We may not be able to determine which course to take. Here we ask God for inspiration, intuitive thought, or a decision. I remember when I started actually practicing that direction. The big P, the big pause. Sitting down and you know, you start getting a little bit baffled with everything, and most of us is, let's react. Let's take the bull by the horns. Pull up your bootstraps. Go at it. Take to it. How about stop for a second? God, what do you want me to be? Where do you want me to go right now? And my experience is the longer that I practice these disciplines, the more intuitive I get. go there, don't go there. You know exactly where you're going, when you're going. You know why it's happening. Here we ask God for inspiration, intuitive thought, or decision. We relax and take it easy. We don't struggle. We are often surprised how the right answers come after we have tried this for a while. It's just what I mentioned. What used to be a hunch or an occasional inspiration gradually becomes a working part of the mind. Being still inexperienced and having just made conscious contact, it is not probable that we are going to be inspired all the time. That is my experience. Sometimes I just don't know what to do. We might pay for this presumption in all sorts of absurd actions and ideas. Nevertheless, we find that our thinking will, as time passes, be more and more on the plane of inspiration. We come to rely on it. How is your thinking? Can you rely on your thought life? Is it bringing you to a place of inspiration? In the last, I'd say about a year ago, sitting in quietness, I started to have stuff start to boil a little bit around my career life. And what I woke up to is when I got out of rehab, I just got a job, easy customer service job that would pay me enough money to pay my little one-bedroom apartment so that I could get sober and plug in to recovery and do the things that we need to do. And while I was there, I aspired to become these guys, these corporate guys, these account executive guys, and with a company car and this and that. And very shortly after, I became one of those guys. And I had a lot of success doing that. And I got invited by different companies and different organizations to come to their organization and to participate in their endeavors. And I've had a lot of success along the way. And about a year ago, I started waking up to this idea that perhaps this is not where you really want to be, actually. And in the beginning, I didn't pay attention to it. My ego told me, no, that's not true. You have a lot of success here. And little by slowly, you know, from continued discipline and sitting in silence, it started to come up. And not even in silence, just walking about my day, it started to come up a little bit right here. And it started to come up here a little bit. And I started to pay more attention to that. And I woke to the fact that what I thought that I wanted to be is actually not really where I want to be. And in the prayer is, God, you show me where you want to be. You show me where I need to serve you. And I trust that you'll move me the way that you need to move me, or you'll bring the signs or the people. And my job is to sit quiet and pay attention to that. What I'm up against is an ego that wants to know what that is right now. And I met Tarek. I got talking to Tarek, and we were talking on the phone one day. I'm like, what do you do? And he's like, well, I've been involved in this corporate deal for a while, and I've been shifted to do this. And things started to roll. So I've been exploring a lot of different avenues in the last 6 months. And like I was saying, just of recent, man, things have been manifesting itself. And I mean manifesting itself. Like, I am not willing any of this stuff. It is being put in my face. And it's always about, okay, God, you just show me the next thing that I need to do with this. I trust that you will present to me what needs to be done. I have to take the action. I have to throw the rock in the pond. The ripple will happen. You know, it's good. It's fine and dandy that you're praying for your buddy that's suffering in the hospital, but go and see him. You know, you can pray till the cows come home. Or you can pray so loud you don't even hear what he's got to say to you. Right? Sitting in the quiet. Not very comfortable. You know, like a lot of you, I'm sure, there's a lot of voices in my head. Especially in the first few minutes of meditation. And even when you go through the meditation, there's a lot of voices going on. Yeah, don't judge those voices. Let them come. This is a brain. This is a machine built to have thoughts. They will come. They will happen. Right? Let them come in and let them come out just the same. Let that ebb and flow happen. Don't attach. Don't judge. It's harder. I mean, easier said than done. But the more that I practice it, the more I'm able to walk through life that way as well. I was talking about meditation. When I first started meditating, I was at about 2 years. I never really meditated for the first 2 years. I tried here and there. I did a lot of praying, but no devotion or practice to sitting quiet. And I went and took a course for about eight weeks with these guys who've been doing it for a long time. And they taught me all kinds of visualization, chanting, mantras, focus, breath. And a lot of times the questions that would always pop up, especially for the new people that would come in, they'd be like, well, what am I supposed to feel like? What's supposed to happen? What's supposed to go on? And the answer was always, just do it. Just do it and go have your experience. Go have the experience. I can't impart my knowledge on anybody. I can hopefully just bring you to certain conditions that you'll take and you'll have your own experience with it. I started meditating, I remember it was January, in January in Montreal, it's very cold, there's lots of snow. And I'm sitting there and I'm like, okay, let's get this thing going, and I've got this setup happening, and my neighbor is shoveling the snow. And I remember it was like yesterday, and the thoughts come. Shit, he's shoveling the snow, that's right, you got to shovel the snow too, Joe. You need a shovel, actually, because you broke your shovel last year. I think Home Depot's having a sale. And I think while you're there, you should get one of those Rubbermaids because, yeah, you haven't put all those clothes away from the summer. Jesus Christ, you're not meditating, Joe. Get back to meditation. Breath, breath. What's that sound? What's the dog doing? And it's just all kinds of voices. And I remember fast forwarding a year later in the month of January, again, I'm doing the same thing, sitting in the same place during the same time, and the same neighbor is shoveling, and it's just kind of like, yeah, he's shoveling, and out it goes. It just doesn't start taking on a life of its own, the voices, as much anymore. You can walk through life that way as well. You see something happens, okay, that's what it is, let it come in. God, show me what you want me to do. Let it go out just the same. Yeah. You get a little detached. You know, there's a scripture that talks about wearing the world like a loose garment. So we come to rely on it, upon it. We usually conclude the period of meditation with a prayer that may be shown all through the day what our next step is to be. That we be given whatever we need to take care of such problems. We ask especially, so here they go again, smashing this idea home. We ask especially for freedom from self-will and are careful to make requests for no requests for ourselves only. We may ask for ourselves, however, here again, if others will be helped. Right? I like to try to be very awake to that direction when I'm praying. You show me where you want me to be. If you want me to do this, so long as it is to help your children, my brothers and sisters. Many of us have wasted a lot of time doing that, and it doesn't work. You can easily see why. If circumstances warrant, we ask our wives and or friends to join us in morning meditation. If we belong to a religious denomination which requires a definite morning devotion, we attend to that also. If not members of religious bodies, we sometimes select and memorize a few set prayers which emphasize the principle we have been discussing. There are many helpful books also. Suggestions about these may be obtained from one's priest, minister, or rabbi. Be quick to see where religious people are right. Make use of what they have to offer. Go and make use of what they have to offer. I did a fifth step 4 years ago with a priest. I grew up a Roman Catholic. I'm not a practicing Catholic anymore. I mean, I don't go to church, and it's not whatever. It's just what it is. But I went and do it. Why? Just to see what the guy had to say. Just to go and experience it. And I had some amazing stuff come up in that inventory. Multiple fifth steps. You know, We ask our friends to join us. Tarek and I just yesterday did some meditation together and some prayer together. It was a pretty amazing feeling. Being with another human being, being with a brother and sharing and joining in unity spirit to spirit. And when spirit connects with spirit, y'all know what that feels like. I mean, it's pretty special. It's pretty special. Something that I couldn't get out there. When alcohol worked and you had whiskey in your hand and I had whiskey in a hand, there was an illusion that we were connecting, but that wasn't working at the end. And now I get to experience that, you know, just yesterday with Tarek, and I get to do that often with friends. I'm going to go back to actually a page. So we're talking about improving our contact. So we're talking about we've made contact with God as a result of going through the first 10 steps. And we agnostics on page 59. Sorry, I'm all confused now. Page 55. It says, actually, we are fooling ourselves, for deep down in every man, woman, and child is a fundamental idea of God. Deep down in every single one of us. It may be obscured by calamity, by pomp, by worship of other things. Obscured, what does obscured mean? It could mean blocked. By calamity. What does calamity sound? Calamity is the noise in your head when you're meditating. If we were to attach and hook up people's heads to the speakers in the PA system, we could hear calamity, I bet you. So loud we can't hear what God's got to say. It could be obscured or blocked by pomp. That's another good word for ego. It could be blocked or obscured by worship of other things. This, that, money, her, him. Right? I try to stay very clear on God is God and people are people. He is the director. I'm the agent. He's the principal. He's the father. I'm the child, or however you want to set it. But I try to stay very clear that we don't mix the roles up. Right? For faith in a power, it says, but worship other things, but in some form or other it is there. For faith in a power greater than ourselves and miraculous demonstrations of that power in human lives are fact as old as man himself. We finally saw that faith in some kind of God was a part of our makeup just as much as a feeling we had for a friend. Sometimes we had to search fearlessly. We learned how to do that in inventory work. We learned how to continue to do that in 10-step work and constructive review of our day in 11-step at night. To search fearlessly. To search fearlessly and say, I was wrong, I was playing God, I held this out by omission, I wasn't transparent with you. He was a great fact as we were. We found the great reality, capital G-R, great reality deep down within us. In the last analysis, it is only there that he may be found. In the last analysis, we were talking about that. In the final analysis, I a lot of times need to go to the last analysis to find him deep down within. I can fall victim and buy to certain ideas that are on the surface. Not very long, though. I'll wake up to it quickly that, you know, there's a lot of illusion. But when you dig down and get down to the final analysis, you discover him within us. We can only clear the cloud a bit if our testimonies help sweep away prejudice, enables you to think honestly, encourages you to search diligently within yourself. If you wish to sit in quiet time, if you wish to review your day and ask yourself the questions at night and write that down. If you wish to develop and evolve and deepen your relationship with that which is keeping you sober. If you wish to experience what I experienced with Tarek yesterday at his home. Then you can join us. On the broad highway, with this attitude, you cannot fail. The consciousness of your belief is sure to come to you. As we go through, I'm sorry, I'm back on page 87. As we go through the day, we pause when agitated or doubtful. There it is, the big P, pause. and ask for the right thought or action, we constantly remind ourselves that we are no longer running the show, humbly saying to ourselves many times each day, "Thy will be done." We are then in much less danger of excitement, fear, anger, worry, self-pity, or foolish decision. We become much more efficient, because growing in understanding and effectiveness is what my next task is. Understanding and effectiveness of His power. How can I be an effective instrument for God, so God can come back through me, who was once broken, that He restored, and come back out to you and perhaps shed some light on it for you and help you get to your God? Because deep down in every man, woman, and child is the fundamental idea of God. This is why when I resent you, I block myself from God. God's in you, God's in me. I resent you, I block myself from God. And I love you, and I connect with God. So I need to grow in understanding and effectiveness, and my thought life needs to get on a plane of inspiration. How is my thought life? The 10th step is the alignment of the will. The 11th step is your thought life. Thoughts and your actions, your will and your thoughts. We become much more efficient. We do not tire so easily. This is what I was saying, right? I mean, better men than me. I've operated on 4 hours sleep, man, and functioning very well when I'm connected. You know, when I'm running the show, or when I'm not connected, or if I'm driven by some sort of it is exhausting. Exhausting. We do not tire so easily, for we are not burning up energy foolishly as we did when we were trying to arrange a life to suit ourselves. Am I trying to arrange the life to suit me? Or am I trying to prepare myself for an ever-changing life? To be able to walk through an impermanent life, whatever comes, whatever's taken away, thank your God for everything He's given you and everything He's taken away from you. There's a story that someone told me one time. There's this kid who... There's this little kid, he's like 5 or 6 years old, and he comes into his father's office, and his father is like this busy lawyer or what have you. He's a very busy businessman. And the kid says, "Daddy, do you think we can go out and play? I mean, it's nice outside. I like to bring out the big wheel." I never had a big wheel, but I was resentful about that. "Can we bring out the big wheel? I want to play." And Daddy's real busy, and he's like, "You know what, son? Daddy's too busy. You know, I got work to do." And the kid doesn't stop. He says, "Daddy, please, I really want to play. I really want to play. I really want to go outside." And Daddy says, "No, listen, bud, I'm too busy." And the kid just doesn't let go. And he's like, "Daddy, come on. Daddy's got a bright idea." Daddy turns around behind his chair, and he's got one of those big maps of the world. And he brings down the map of the world, and he tears it up into hundreds of little pieces. And he says, "I tell you what, little man, put this map of the world back together. And once you're done, Daddy will come outside and play with you." He's thinking it's going to take, 4 or 5 hours to do. Give him enough time to finish his work. Kid comes back in half an hour. He's got this thing all taped together, this map of the world. And Daddy can't figure it out. He's freaking. He's like, "How the hell did you do that?" He said, "Daddy, it's very simple." He said, "On the back of the map of the world, there's a picture of a man. All I did was put the man back together, and the rest of the world fell into place." Yeah. Yeah. Am I trying to arrange the world? Right? Or do I have some discipline so that I can actually get my spirit lined up, awakened, so that I can go back into the world? Or am I trying to arrange the world to suit me? Very inefficient. I can tell you from experience, I've tried many times. So my practice today with the 11th step is, usually I'll get up in the morning, Monday to Friday is usually 7 o'clock. In my office, I got this little corner, and I've got the setup with the chair, the iPod, the incense, the images, the books, and I'll sit there for half an hour, 30 minutes. And when I started meditating, it was 5 minutes. And I don't know, it's usually around 30 minutes. I actually stopped timing it in the last little while. I usually just stop meditating when in my stop meditating, it's usually around 30 minutes, so 27, 32, is around there. I found that sometimes when I was going into meditation and I was timing it, there was always an attachment to that time. So I'll sit there, and it's usually about a 30-minute period. And Saturday, Sunday is a little bit later. I'll wake up a little bit later. At night, as I have my book here, I will write out. After my meditation, or I was introduced to inspired meditation. So when I come out of meditation, if there's something that comes to mind, my first few thoughts that come to mind, I'll write them down and I'll follow up on them. So, I mean, if I think of Adam's, for some reason he's come up in my meditation, or I've come out of meditation and the thought has come up, I will give him a call and I'll say, I don't know why I'm calling you, Adams. You came up, but I'm calling you. And Adams might be just like, well, cool. Thanks, man. You know, we haven't talked to each other in a while. And a lot of times it's like, dude, I was just talking about you to this other guy yesterday, and, you know, I'm glad that you called me, and things start to connect. The old timers, that's what they used to do. They used to do inspired meditation. This is what my sponsor suggested that I do. So I've been trying that, and it's been pretty neat, actually. Pretty neat, some of the stuff that's been manifesting. You know, a lot of these things, when I look back at all of the check marks of all of the follow-ups, and I can see how all of it has kind of aligned. It's pretty amazing. Pretty cool stuff. And then at night, so I'll review my day and I'll go through the set of questions. Where was I resentful, selfish, fearful, dishonest? What did I keep to myself? Is there something I should discuss with somebody? Did I pack into the stream of life? Was I unkind? Was I unloving? I'll go through all these questions and I'll just check myself off and see where I was, where these things are not, you know, and I can see a lot of times where I'm at by looking at my evening review. And then I'll think about my 24 hours the next day, and I'll set out some things that I need to get done, whatever it may be. Pay this bill, call this guy back, set up this appointment, do a fish step with this guy. And then when I wake up the next morning, I will consider my plans for the day that I've kind of written out the night before. That's what Gary introduced me to a while back. Yeah. The result of meditation in my life has been quite amazing, actually. You know, being able to walk through this world and live in a world which don't necessarily live by the same principles that we're going through, and be effective in any given moment, whether it be a colleague of mine. You know, just recently, Jen, I mean, she's a colleague of mine, and I sat, she comes across, and I said, how you doing? She says, you really want to know? I said, yeah. She sat down, and she says, I'm not feeling very good. She's a bit resentful, but I'm not talking the full-on lingo with her, but we're talking about that. And I just said to her, Jen, you know what the best thing for me when I get like that is I go do something for somebody else. And she's just, ding! Never thought of that. You know, next day, how's it going? I went and helped my sister out. I'm feeling pretty good. I don't know, that's effective. And then we got diving into the conversation. Here's the kicker. We got diving into more conversation, and I ended up telling her my story because I was moved to just tell her my story, sitting and having a coffee, and she starts to break down and cry. That's what's going on. She says, I buried my one brother who died of alcoholism about 6 months before you came to the company. And my other sister has got some problem with some drug addiction. I said, where does she live? And she told me the area, and I got her linked up with some people in that area. Yeah. Show me who I can help. How can I best serve thee? Thy will not mine be done. You know, is my thought life on a plane of inspiration? Is it just, hey, how's it going? Let's talk about numbers. What's going on? What's happening with you? I'm not feeling too good. Let's talk about that. I don't know. I got moved to go and talk to her and dive into what was going on with her, and it came out with her sister getting some help. Yeah. That stuff happens to me all the time, not necessarily in that order, not necessarily with those details, but that was a pretty effective day. Right. It works. It really does. We alcoholics are undisciplined. Me. So we let God discipline us in the simple way we have just outlined. But that is not all. There is action and more action. Faith without works is dead. The next chapter is entirely devoted to step 12. I'm at about 35 minutes, man. That's all I got. Thanks.